First of all, what is DKO? Just remind our listeners.
Not a problem. It's a defense-wide secure collaboration portal. It really developed starting with the Army knowledge online, and then you had the Navy knowledge online, but this would be defense-wide. This would be for all soldiers, their families, retirees, reservists, and it basically gives them, you know, email, it gives them secure collaboration technologies. It gives them personnel actions to be able to do chat. It behind the firewall. Chat.
Instant messaging.
Right. The enterprise services, basically. And this is something that DISA has been working on for a number of years. They were really trying to get it going, and they're hitting a wall, and it's interesting to see what's going to happen next.
What kind of wall? What sort of challenges are they facing?
Well, not surprisingly, funding is number one.
Yeah, cash, sure.
So there's been some reports that DOD would not fund DKO's funding for 2010 and move everything back to the Army Knowledge Online, which is really where it started from. Tony Montemorano, who's DISA's component acquisition executive, spoke today, and he said, in fact, no decision has been made. He obviously admitted those challenges, and funding was the major one. But he did say that DOD is meeting today and will continue to meet over the next few weeks and come to a decision by late February, whenever the 2010 budget is released by President Obama. He said that's got to be done by then. It's because things are starting to stack up. Now, this is not the death knell for it, but it's not a good sign. I mean, you know, anytime there's funding discussions, anytime, especially as the economy gets tighter and there's still money needs to be spent on things like bullets and, you know, bombs and planes and...
Right. Well, how much progress have they actually made? Because I thought they were further along. I mean, I thought AKO was mostly developed and that they were basically just merging that and enlarging it for DKO.
AKO actually is the one that's most developed. It has, I think, over 2 million users already. DKO has fewer users, is not as developed. They are making progress specifically around the net-centric enterprise services. There's about 11 services there that they're trying to move out. And this is part of that collaboration, what they call service discovery, mediation. It's part of the bunch of capabilities. And the initial operating capabilities for a lot of the NCES ones are due in June. So they're still moving forward. They still have a plan. And in fact, the plan got approved by John Young, who is the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics, which is a good sign. I mean, if John Young doesn't approve it, you're not going anywhere with it.
Is it a high priority?
I think so. I think they see it as kind of the wave of the future in some ways. They see as the soldiers get younger, they have expectations. And if the military has to meet those expectations. And part of the expectations is like, you know, Twitter, but secure. Or Facebook. Or they want to be able to send email easily. It's also will take...
It's not actually that the soldiers are getting younger. We're getting older.
Oh, that's
the soldiers
what
are staying the same age.
Actually, that's absolutely true.
They seem like they're getting younger.
I like Jason's version better.
Sorry. I thought it was me. Well, but I think, just go back to DKO in your question. I think that the fact is that it's going to also reduce the stress on their infrastructure, that where they want to send out capabilities for the warfighter, and by moving this onto a separate portal, it's less stress on their bigger infrastructure.
And DISA is doing some new software around the development cycles, right?
It is. They've moved to what they call a private sector model, where when they develop open source software, they bring it together on a collaboration site and everyone develops it together.
Right.
In fact, it's called forge.mil. And this is based on something called, I think, secureforge.com. This is something that actually the Library of Congress, I just wrote about this morning on our website, Library of Congress put out some new tools around that same thing. And what this does now for the DoD version, it's behind DoD's firewall, and it lets anybody working on open source projects, both contractors and DOD, as long as you have your CAC card or your approved military PKI card, to come on and do that development together. So it's not developed in a silo. And the goal here is, one, to get things out faster, two, to save money, and three, to avoid some of the mistakes. Now, right now, they're just in the pilot phase through about June, and they have about 20 projects that have been approved for forge.mil. And eventually, once they get past that initial operating capability, Dave Mihelchik, who's the CTO over at DISA, he says they're going to open it up to anyone who's approved.
Yeah, you sort of anticipated my next question, the timeline. We're looking at summer?
Some are for the to open it up for anyone. June, he was hoping for maybe earlier. He's real excited about this. I mean, Dave Mihalchuk, if you've ever met him, he's very similar to Dave Wintergreen. Yeah. I was listening to him speak and going, wow.
He's difficult for reporters because it's hard to keep. He talks so fast.
He does.
It's difficult to keep up with him.
Well,
it's
that's
like, hold on. I'm back at your first point.
but he was really excited about it. He thought this is a big change to the way the Defense Department specifically, but DISA develops software because they can't wait 5 years to think of the requirements, get the contract out, and then start working on it, and then realize things are going wrong. He calls it Agile, which is a methodology about developing software. It's
does it stand for something?
It probably does.
Okay.
We just talked about it as Agile.
Okay.
And what we decided, what he had said to do, what basically he said this will help them do is they're going to do it in increments, small increments,
right?
Test it for about 2 weeks, get it out there. And then have people use it, basically beta version it, and then expand it and build on it. So if they have a problem, they didn't waste money, they didn't waste all that much time. If something's not working the way though perfectly, they can bring it back in and redevelop it.
And this is something that General Charlie Croom, when he was the head of DISA, was something that he really pushed. He went out to Google a lot and saw that they weren't, you know, you don't wait for something, the perfect version. You put it out there and let people use it, and they let you know what is the problem. Now, you can only do that within certain degrees on military. You know, things have to work enough that they, you know, people start to rely on these things. They can't. They have to work enough, but it is an interesting way of trying it out.
And that's actually, it's a great segue. You brought up the
Thank
fact that the
much.
New director of DISA, he wants more to focus more about operational capabilities. And that was, they asked the question to Tony Montemarano, what's the difference between General Croom and the new director of DISA, whose name escapes me right now. But basically, Tony Montemarano said, this new director is really focused on operational capabilities. Get the stuff out to the warfighter and do it quickly,
right,
and do it right. Not that General Croom wasn't, but there's just, he was more from a visionary standpoint to a maybe operational standpoint.